What we're talking about is late night, early morning low clouds. With a chance of fall, chance of showers in the afternoon. With variable high cloudiness, gusty winds at times around that corner of Sunset and Alvarado. Yeah, I know, things are tough all over. When the thunderstorms start increasing over the southeast and south central portions of my apartment, I get upset. And a line of thunderstorms was developing in the early morning hours ahead of a slow-moving cold front.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Friday edition of The French Connection. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Today's date is Friday, the 5th of May, 2006. And, of course, you're listening to me from central France, and my guest today will be coming to me. I'm not sure. I think he's from California. Are you from California, Jim?
I'm in Washington State near Seattle.
Washington State, West Coast. Anyway, what we've got today is a wonderful interview with someone that I have the highest respect for, someone who has spent his entire last couple of decades fighting an injustice that was perpetrated by the very group that we concentrate on here at the French Connection. You know, this is a battle that he has waged with his fellows that were with him the day of the incident, which we're going to discuss in a moment. It's the USS Liberty incident, ladies and gentlemen, and his name is Lieutenant Commander Jim Innes, and he was the officer of the deck the day that this happened. And any of you who don't know what that means he was in charge as this thing got underway, the attack started. So anyway, I'm going to go right to the commander. And Jim, are you with me?
I am.
Well, it's great to have you back with me again, Jim. You know, so much has happened in the country since we spoke last. More and more people are feeling emboldened to challenge some of these facts around our relationship with Israel, and why over this past two or three decades have we not been able to question the actions of this country. And I want to maybe give you an opportunity to start out for people who are not familiar with the USS Liberty attack, just what happened that day, and maybe you can give them a kind of a condensed version before we go on to some other questions.
Sure. USS Liberty was an intelligence collection ship. Actually, we were collecting intelligence concerning the Soviet Union in Egypt, and to accomplish that, we were off the Gaza Strip between Egypt and Israel. We had just arrived on station at 9 o'clock. I was officer of the deck, which means I was the only officer on the bridge. For most of the time, from 9 o'clock until noon, and then from 1 until 2 when the attack started. We were simply slowly patrolling at 5 knots. It's about 5 miles an hour, just enough to that we could steer. And we had 100 men below on radios that were listening for radio signals from Egypt. I think we were in that area because the Soviets wouldn't suspect that we were listening to them if we were off the coast of the Israeli war, but we really weren't interested in the Israeli war. But the Israelis didn't know that, and they didn't want us there. So at 2 o'clock, they came out with high-speed modern aircraft, Mirages, Mysteres, followed by torpedo boats with torpedoes. And they, within an hour and a quarter, they killed 34 of my shipmates and wounded 174.
Well, I got a question for you right now. I mean, at the time of this happening, they didn't have markings on their aircraft, nor did they have markings on their attack torpedo boats. Could they have had these boats ready in advance of your arrival? In other words, it's bizarre that they would have had removed their Star of David or their Israeli markings in advance. Maybe they had this whole team already in place? I don't know.
It's a mystery exactly how that happened, although it's obvious they knew who we were and that we were on our way long before we got there. So they had plenty of time to make preparations.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the next question. There, in hindsight, you've come to understand that they were actually doing some rather heinous things in that desert against prisoners of war, which is what has come to light over the last few years. You want to describe what kinds of things that you were intercepting at that time? There were some hinting of a disposal of prisoners of war, wasn't there?
There was. The Israelis had captured several hundred, perhaps as many as 1,000 Egyptian prisoners of war who were being held near the town of El Arish. Now, we passed 12 miles off the coast of El Arish, I think around 10 o'clock that morning. And little did we know, but it happens that they were lining up these prisoners, requiring them to dig their own graves in the desert sand, and then they'd jump in and the Israelis would machine gun them, and then the next few prisoners would fill a hole in and dig their own. It's funny that some of the Israelis claim that that never happened. If it happened, it would have been in all the newspapers. Well, it was in all the newspapers. Or at least it was in Time magazine and U.S. News and World Report, and it's been that story has been verified by a number of senior Israeli military officers and reporters.
Well, so essentially, it's quite possible they believed you to have maybe some red-handed type of information on their war crimes, on their murder spree in that desert, and possibly. That was a precipitating factor, possibly, in their attack. Is that something that sounds rational to you?
That's right. I mean, they didn't know exactly what we were doing, but we were an intelligence ship. They knew we were an intelligence ship, and we were in an area where we should have been able to detect those things that they didn't want us to know. So
yep.
It appears that that's why they attacked us.
Well, here's the next couple of questions that I've got. You know, this is 1967, and most of the crew is quite on in years, and many people have wondered why there has never been justice or truth brought out about this. And you've been fighting this fight for decades, Jim, along with many of your shipmates and many people that were sent to help you that day, including Wayne Kyle and many others in the USS Liberty Association. Here's the interesting thing. How is it that they have been able to quash every attempt you've had at justice?
It's simple. You just holler anti-Semite. Everything we say is provable, verifiable, and in fact supported by the heads of all the U.S. intelligence agencies, CIA director, NSA, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Secretary of State, and their deputies. I mean, all these, nobody quarrels with the facts of what we say. The attack was prolonged, deliberate. They knew us to be American. But all they have to do is say, well, that's an anti-Semite. Only anti-Semites tell that story. They say it because they hate Israel, which is nonsense. And that shuts everybody up.
Well, here's the next question. I mean, it would require the acquiescence of the American government at the very highest level not to investigate. What kind of roadblocks have you and your mates found along the way from the American side of the ledger?
Total. I mean, as long as these people are in government, they will support the government's blockade of the information concerning our story.
Yep.
It's interesting that once they retire from government, they usually agree with us, which is why we must have half a dozen former directors of the National Security Agency who have come out in our favor. But while people are still employed by and depending on the government for a check, they don't speak out.
So what you're trying to say to me now is that the strings of Washington are pulled from Tel Aviv and from Jerusalem.
Jerusalem certainly influences what's going on. I mean, one issue, for instance, is our war crime report. There is an absolute requirement of the government by American law and by international treaty that if an individual makes a report of war crime, the government has to investigate.
Yep.
There's no way around it. The Secretary of the Army is the agent for investigating war crimes. We reported years ago that the Israeli attack on our ship was a war crime, and they just laughed us off, refusing to investigate. A year ago, an attorney who is an experienced prosecutor and well familiar with these things, and who, in fact, was rather closely connected with the attack at the time, Ron Gotcher in Los Angeles, Southern California, created a, with attachments, over a 300-page, very detailed report documenting point by point that the attack on our ship was a war crime.
Yeah.
For several reasons. We filed that with the Secretary of the Army in the prescribed manner on June 8, 2005, and we're still waiting for them to acknowledge it. Now, that war crime report has sworn affidavits in it by such people as retired Rear Admiral Merlin Starring, a former Chief Judge Advocate General of the Navy.
Yep.
And here's a senior lawyer in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
He helped prepare the war crime report. He signed an affidavit in which he reported from his own personal experience that the official Navy investigation of the attack was a fraud.
Right.
He then personally delivered that report to the Secretary of the Army.
Now, you told me that it's a fraud from the beginning, and we had two high-level admirals at the time, Admiral Kidd and Admiral McCain, both very, very active in the original quieting and then silencing of any protest that came out of this. Am I right in that assertion?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Now, it's the same McCain that we have now as a senator, his father.
That's right, the father of Senator McCain was a four-star admiral who, in fact, called, ordered that the investigation be held, and then ordered that it be corrupted.
Well, you know, none of this stuff surprises me, and you wouldn't be surprised to know that they call me an anti-Semite as well for doing the kinds of investigating I do, Jim. But here's the bottom line. There will be no justice on any of these points until we root out the cancer in the country. Now, of course, that is going to require a more gargantuan effort than we've been able to put together to this date. But I certainly see that the day is coming when Americans are going to be able to point to the real criminals here. You know, I've brought up many times on my show, and you've probably watched over time, Jim, the people like the Pollard case and many of these APEC spy scandals that have erupted over the last 30 years. And the same problem you had getting your justice, the people who were involved in this never were brought to justice. I'm wondering what your take is on this whole corrupted legal system we have and what it is we need to do in the immediate for justice to be served in your case. Because, look, you guys are aging, and there are many people who are going to die before they ever see justice in this case.
Well, that's certainly true. Our people are getting older, and there are fewer of them that are leaving the planet every year. So I think that's what the bad guys hope for, is that we'll just all die off and then the story will die with us. But we've got enough in the public record. I mean, my book has been well hailed and has sold well over 100,000 copies, still sells.
Well, let's give you the details on your book, because it will be able to be purchased from they won't get it from purchasing from our site, but we'll give you the direct line to where to get it. Give the name and where the details are of the book, Jim.
The book is Assault on the Liberty by James Ennis, which is me. The quickest way to get it is either from our website at ussliberty.org or from amazon.com.
Well, we're going to make a link to your website from our site. We will do that without any benefit to us, except that we're getting information out. I want to go back to that question I had about the fact is, what are we going to do here? Because the country is finally waking up to the ownership of our nation being in the hands of a select few people that are very partial to helping Israel get away with all kinds of things. And by the way, if you don't know it, America has a deficit running in the 1.5 trillion range, and Israel this year has posted a budget surplus. So that probably doesn't surprise you, but we ship them, I think, $8 or $11 billion in direct aid, and it's astonishing the criminality that I just described to you, because it's all about finances, power, and money, and about control of media and truth. What are we going to do, Jim, to get these people on the hook for what they've done?
The only really logical thing I see is keep doing what we're doing, educate the American public. The American public knows very little about the USS Liberty or the other things that are going on, and they need to be told.
Well, I've made some connections to other events that you probably were aware of at the time or have become aware of since. Back in 1957, there was another event where the Israelis were caught red-handed murdering Americans and trying to make it seem as though the Egyptians were involved. That would be the Levant affair. And do you see some parallels in the quashing of the investigation of the Levant affair and subsequent non-reporting of that event and the USS Liberty event?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the first draft of my book had a chapter on the Levant affair because I thought they were perfect parallels, and that where somebody says, hey, that couldn't be true about the Liberty, you just go back and point to the Levant affair, and here's a mirror image of the same thing.
Yeah. Well, now I'm going to ask you to make the big jump here. We've got, actually, Eric Hufschmidt and myself and many, many other investigators have put together direct evidence implicating the Israelis in 9/11. We've got dancing Israelis, we've got art students, we've got Silverstein being a Zionist backed. This guy used to be a strip club operator before he became the owner of the World Trade Center, if you want to know the truth. You can't imagine the kind of corruption we're talking about here. And all roads lead back to Mossad and lead back to Israel on 9/11. And so when you take a look at Levant and you go to the USS Liberty, it's not a big jump to consider that they might be very, very involved in 9/11. Would you maybe agree with that statement?
I'm still paying attention.
Well, the fact is, if you go to our website, IamTheWitness.com, and read through and listen to some of the audio files, you will find evidence that you can investigate for yourself that does put these people right in the thick of that attack. These kinds of situations need to be exposed, Jim, because until we find the people of the country and the world find out just how treacherous these Israeli leaders are, I think we're going to suffer further abuse from these people.
It does look that way. Yeah, I mean, Americans need to know more about these things.
Well, you know, what are you going to do with Ron at present? I know the Army investigation is still pending and hopefully is not dead. And I know Ron's a very busy lawyer, but at the same time, you know, justice needs to be served here. What's your next step?
Well, Admiral Storing, who's the former Chief Judge Advocate General of the Navy, is continuing to make regular trips to the Pentagon to call personally upon senior officials there with copies of the war crime report. And he is personally acquainted with many of these people, and can get access to them directly. Personally hand them copies of the report and then ask for a reaction. And the reaction he gets is remarkable. When they respond at all, the answer is, well, you know, there's an anti-Semitic element involved here. Well, that's baloney. There's nothing anti-Semitic to do with this at all. This is a crime was committed against Americans by a foreign power. The U.S. law requires that it be investigated, and we're asking to investigate. There's no question that it was a war crime. It was a war crime in several clear and very easily explained points. They admit, I mean, even if you take the Israeli version of what happened, they admit that they saw a ship which they say they didn't identify properly and attacked it, killing 34 men. That alone is a war crime. If you, on the high seas, in wartime or not, if you see a ship that you suspect may be an enemy, you must, and it has not fired upon you, you have to identify it before you attack it. And they admit, very frankly, they made no attempt to identify it. They claimed that they attacked because they assumed it was an enemy ship. The fact is, we have their communications in which they informed their headquarters that we were an American ship. They knew we were an American ship. At one point, they told their headquarters that they were the aircraft were not going to attack because this is an American ship, and the headquarters told them to ignore the markings and attack that ship, and in fact sink it quickly and get out of there before the Sixth Fleet arrived.
Well, you know, you and I are fighting the same war on different fronts, basically, and I'm proud to do this battle with you, Jim. I got to be honest with you, there needs to be a reckoning on all these points, especially, you know, in lieu of the evidence that I have on 9/11. We've got 3,000 murders now, and on top of that, we're murdering others in that region on behalf of this country. They've upped the ante on America. We've spent $500 billion on a war over there for these folks and for these criminals. And I'm wondering, how in your own circle of people are you trying to get people? I mean, we have a lot of trouble drumming support up for even the smallest protest against the government positions. I don't get it. I wonder if America is even got the chutzpah, got the health, got the interest, got the guts to stand up and say, okay, there's something that needs to be fixed here. We've got to fix it. It doesn't seem like we roll up our sleeves anymore there, Jim.
No, it seems it's pretty hard to get Americans angry these days, isn't it?
Well, why is that? What is your take on it?
I've been trying to figure that out for some time. I mean, our story, for instance, we have had some people say, well, you can't get the press coverage. Well, we have had, we've been on the front page of the New York Times. I did 2 hours with Larry King. We did the story's been told 40 times on the History Channel. It was told at least that many times on the Discovery Channel, and yet most Americans have never heard of it. And the reason is that it never gets a sustained interest that a story like this deserves. If it were someone dropping a bomb in an Israeli cafe, there'd be sympathetic stories in every newspaper in the country, but somebody kills 34 Americans, and you get a report here and a report there, and nothing sustained, and nobody's heard about it.
Well, so that basically is an indictment of the press, and basically I'd like to maybe put my little caveat in here that the press we know is owned by Israeli interests. We know that. And it's not just in America, Jim. The European press is also owned by these same people. So we're in a situation where we can't share truthful information in our country because the press is suppressing any efforts we make at getting that out. So what we need to do is we need to network, and that's where we fail miserably. See, the only alternative when the press is not on your side is to network with people on a grassroots level, and that seems to be where we don't get traction, because the grassroots America has been kind of mowed away. I don't know. We don't seem to connect with one another on a one-to-one basis to get people excited about information anymore.
Well, the horror is that they define criticism of Israel as anti-Semitism, and so as soon as you have anything that's critical of Israel, such as Israel deliberately attacked the USS Liberty, they say, oh, that's anti-Semitism, and that's crazy, but that's the only defense they have, and they use it, and it works.
I think it's beginning not to. Can I be honest with you? I think more and more people are starting to see the label anti-Semite as a badge of honor rather than a badge of shame. And because if I'm anti-Semitic, I don't pretend to be anti-Semitic, because I'm anti-criminal is what I am. And the fact is I see criminality throughout this relationship, so I'm fighting against criminals. But the country's starting to get sick and tired of this, I believe, and I see it in the message boards, the forums, and on the reporting done on the internet, that people are starting to say, wait a minute, no, he's not anti-Semitic, and no, he's talking about factual information here. And I think people are starting to have a little bit of courage to stand up and say something. Do you feel that's starting to happen?
Yes, I do, and yet you'd be surprised after, or maybe you wouldn't, after some of the shows that we have done together, I've had email from strangers who say, why are you cooperating with that anti-Semite Daryl Bradford Smith? And I say, my answer is, I haven't seen any anti-Semitism there, but their response again is, well, he's critical of Israel. So in their view, criticism of Israel makes you an anti-Semite, and I think that's wacky.
Well, it's kind of like me being against the mafia, the Italian mafia, the Cosa Nostra, and then somebody saying I'm anti-Italian. That's nonsense. It's foolish. Or the fact that that George Bush I'm against George Bush, so that means I hate all Republicans. That's nonsense. And you and I both know it. And I think the simplicity of their argument is beginning to erode here. Now, this juxtaposition that I've made onto the 9/11 events, these are timely events. We're now talking about issues that are well alive in America, and people are still investigating it. And you wouldn't be surprised to know that about 75% of the investigators of 9/11 on the internet are all from the Jewish community. Now, they're only 2% of the country's population, Jim. Why would about 75% of them be Jewish? Well, they're working very hard to convolute and obfuscate the information that's being put out. Now, you've had trouble back in the 70s and 80s when you first began to talk about this, and there was real fear against you talking. I'm sure that they actually threatened you, didn't they?
Occasionally, I've had threats. Yeah.
Well, now the fact is, when you first started, were there a lot of lobby people from ADL, from B'nai B'rith, from Southern Poverty Law? Who was doing these hit pieces against you?
Often ADL spokesmen in various cities will have a hit piece. For instance, if my book is reviewed in a major newspaper, you can depend on a week later the Anti-Defamation League is going to have a rebuttal saying that that's not true and he's an anti-Semite, or anybody who says that Israel attacked the Liberty deliberately is an anti-Semite, and that's pretty much the end of it. And then the unfortunate part is at that point you've had the story and you've had the rebuttal, and once you try to respond to their nonsense, the press usually figures, well, we've heard both sides, so that's all we're going to publish on this subject.
Yeah. It happens on a lot of the issues, Jim. And, one of the other ones, I mean, you wouldn't be surprised to know the fact that if one Israeli child is killed by a Palestinian rocket, it makes it into every newspaper in the world. But hundreds of Palestinian children have been killed, and virtually no reports are done. So, you know, it's awful that we're in this situation and that we even have to maybe sweep up a lot of people in the same, you know, dustpan here. But, you know, I got to call them like I see them. And it's a frightful thing that our press has been so compromised. What scares me as well, Jim, is that our Constitution is being eroded. Do you have any personal takes on what you've been witnessing over the last few years with this with the slide America seems to be on right now?
Oh, sure. I agree with you on that. I mean, the Constitution is largely being ignored on a lot of issues.
Yeah. Well, I worry every day that you know we're not going to get the help we need from the public in time to do anything, and that's always been my fear. And you know, people like yourself, me, Eric, and many others fighting the good fight. We do it. I do it because I can't imagine my future family being in a country where you know tyranny is the rule rather than the exception. And I'm wondering what you plan to do next with this battle. Do you have any other legal actions or any other protests or anything else coming up that you could that I could maybe promote from my site?
Well, what we hope to do is continue with our work arm report. I mean, the best thing we have going for us right now is that we have a legal document, a very thoroughly documented war crime report, which anybody can read on my website. I am the webmaster of USSLiberty.org.
Okay.
And highlighted at the top of the page at liberty.org is a link to our 300-page war crime report with all its footnotes and everything else.
Yeah.
The basic report is fairly short and easy to read, and then there are all the references to document all the points. And we hope to get the government to acknowledge and pay some attention to that. It's definitely an uphill battle, but I mean we've got people like Admiral Starring helping us push it. And since the government is required by law to follow up on our report, it should be a simple matter for my shipmates to go into court and ask a federal judge to require the government to obey the law. We are considering just that action, and it should be simple and inexpensive. So if they won't pay attention to us, that may be our next step.
Well, you know, I want to applaud your efforts, and I know that, you know, you were heroic that day just to keep your shipmates from further damage, and the fight you've had since then has been heroic as well. And any contact you have with your other mates, tell them that I appreciate it, and I'm sure my listeners appreciate their efforts, Jim. You know, this moving this ball forward a little bit. I wanted to get a second interview here because there were some, you know, some loose ends that we didn't talk about, and most of those subjects we did visit today. And I want to thank you for spending the time with us, and I urge everybody, Jim, to take a look at your book, at your website, and become educated on this subject, because I believe if you take a look at Levon Affair, take a look at the Liberty, you will be able to more easily understand why we believe 9/11 has a lot of roots in these two affairs as well. And thanks again for coming on today, Jim.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure, Darrell.
I'll talk to you soon, and be well, and tell your shipmates that we're caring about them and thinking about them.
Thank you. I'll do that.
All right, sir.
Bye.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the situation that we find ourselves in with the USS Liberty is not very different than the Levon Affair, and then making that next jump to the 9/11 investigation, when all roads do lead back to the Israelis. It's an absolute fact that they're financing for the buildings, and that their control of those buildings, and that the 4,000 Israeli Jewish workers that didn't show up that day, and the insider trading being rooted back to Israel, and that the art students that were involved, and that Abramoff sending Attar on booze cruises, and all of the stuff that happened that day goes right back to the Mossad, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not mysterious anymore. We've uncovered it. Do your homework, learn your history lesson on these very important points, and make the jump. Please, understand these things. Share them with your friends. Share them with everybody you possibly can. Anyway, this is the Friday edition of The French Connection. My name again is Daryl Bradford Smith. IamTheWitness.com is the website. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.